Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
When I heard that there was a project called Freedom to Roam, which involved some top-class musicians, and that one of them, the flautist Eliza Marshall, lived in the Malvern Hills, I knew we had to come to investigate for Folk on Foot. Eliza has played with all sorts of musicians, touring the world with people like Peter Gabriel and Paul McCartney. She's classically trained, but she's also played folk music too, and she's assembled this extraordinary cast in a kind of multimedia project which has layer upon layer of meaning, as we'll find out as we take a walk in the Malvern Hills. Eliza, good morning. It's wonderful to see you, and you've brought us to a most amazing spot. We're in your back garden.
We are. It's
where
so
are
great.
We exactly? Tell us exactly where we are.
Well, it's amazing you're here, Matthew, and so we're in West Malvern. Our house is built into the hills, so if you go into our kitchen, we have a rock there. And we're looking out over the forests and the woods that head out towards the west and Wales.
It's the most spectacular view. There's a sort of wooded hill there, and then the hills spread away into the distance, don't they?
They do. I mean, from here we can see out there we've got Clee Hill, so that's out towards Shropshire. Then we get the sunset here as well, obviously, because we're on the west, which is really fantastic. And then you've got a kind of band of trees. We look at that from our little studio in the house, and it really reminds me of sort of the Ents and Tolkien, who loved Malvern, and how that might have influenced him.
And do you think if we went inside the house, we might find some other musicians?
Well, I think we should go and have a look, don't you?
Well, I can definitely hear some sort of noise going on downstairs.
I can hear a kind of ramshackle noises, which possibly suggests musicians. What do you think?
Yeah, Eliza, who's in your front room?
Hiding over there at the piano, we've got Donal Rogers, and then we've also got Andrew Morgan, who was the producer extraordinaire for this whole album that we've done. We've got Jackie Shave on violin, and perched behind this enormous concert harp, we've got Catherine Finch.
And Drew's playing percussion as well.
So we normally have a tabla player in this group, but Drew is a kind of multi-talented everything. So we've roped him into this. He loves walking and he loves talking. So what's not to love about Folk on Foot?
What are you going to play here for us?
A piece that Don mainly wrote, really, called Coming Home. ¶¶
That was wonderful.
So lovely to hear the sort of echo of the harp at the end there, the resonance of the strings. It's called Coming Home,
yes.
And you're playing it at home
here. We are, yeah. It's so wonderful, actually, to be able to do that. It's just such a nice feeling. I think that's what the whole essence of the album was, that we wanted to have that feeling. You are coming home, and we're all together here. It's really, really important.
Where are you going to take us to on the walk?
Well, it's so exciting. Because we live right on the end of the Malvern Hills, we're going to take you up from here, and we're going to go up End Hill, and then we're going to go along the hills up to the Beacon, and maybe discover a few musicians along the way as well. Well,
that would be fantastic. And are we going to bring the harp with us? Who's carrying the harp?
Well, I mean, Catherine.
Catherine, you're quite used to it, aren't you? The thing, it's about 6 foot tall. It wouldn't be a problem to hoist that with us.
Stick it in its backpack, it'll be fine.
Let's go.
Brilliant.
So the important thing, Eliza, is that you've brought Molly the collie.
I mean, Molly comes everywhere with us, so she's an integral part of the project, I think, isn't she?
And various instruments are being carried, backpacks, percussion.
Yep, yeah. We've got beaters, we've got violins, we've got... What have you got, Drew?
I've got a cigar box guitar and some frame drums and a little drum you gave me that I don't even know what it is, but we'll play it today and see what happens.
I think that came from Calaba Causeway in Mumbai. Right.
And the cigar box guitar, that's a classic American instrument, isn't it? Is it really a cigar box that it's made out of?
This actually is a Bristol-made kit that I found at a festival, and I thought, well, I'll just put that together. Although I am American, I didn't get it back there. I found it here.
Okay, let's get off up the hill.
Fantastic. Okay.
I don't want to sound apprehensive, but it's a bit steep, isn't it?
Well, so this is quite steep, this bit, actually. In fact, this is the very northern point of the hills.
So if we sound a bit breathless, that's why. But I really want to start to learn a little bit about how this Freedom to Roam project began. Where did it start?
It actually kind of started about 4 years ago with an idea of how do we do something as musicians and as creatives that is really meaningful and that uses our platform, I suppose, to portray topics that are really, really important to us. And it all kind of started with an email that I sent to Will Travers at the Born Free Foundation, just saying, I'm putting together this project and I'd really love to do something as a fundraiser for you.
And just tell us about the Born Free Foundation and what that does.
So the Born Free Foundation was set up by Virginia McKenna, wonderful actress of the Born Free film, and her husband Bill Travers and their son Will. And essentially inspired by acting in the film, it's all to do with keeping wildlife in the wild.
The film is the story of the lioness, isn't it?
Yes, it's the story of Elsa the lion. Can you remember exactly what date that came out?
It's probably in the 60s, I think.
It was in the 60s.
60s or 70s.
And
obviously long before your time and nearly before my time.
Yes.
But they've devoted their lives, really, to promoting the interests of animals and wildlife.
Absolutely, and I mean, Virginia McKenna, who we met through this project, actually, is just the most extraordinary lady. I think she's just turned 91, and she's still campaigning for wildlife, and her passion to allow freedom for animals.
And that's freedom from captivity, really.
Freedom
from being locked up in zoos or used for entertainment and that kind of thing.
Exactly that, yeah. That's kind of
resonated. But things broadened out from that, didn't they? I mean, it seems to me as though you've embraced a whole lot of other issues.
Absolutely, yeah. So the name came about. Jackie and I were up on Col, little Hebridean island, where the cellist Bert has a small cottage. And we were talking about the right to roam in Scotland.
Which is different from England, isn't it? There's a great deal more freedom in Scotland.
Absolutely, it's completely different to England. In fact, Jackie's got a lovely story, just seeing a sign saying private land, but actually there was a stile next to it. And I mean, I think that's a really important issue within England at the moment anyway. Our access to land, and especially after this time and this little pandemic that we've been experiencing, that actually our connection to land and nature and one another is vital, actually.
I suppose that must have been something that was great for you to have during the pandemic. If you were here, your immediate access to this landscape must have been incredibly good for your mental health.
I mean, the access to this land has been phenomenal, and actually, I mean, look, we're walking amongst uncut grasses, beautiful high ferns. Earlier in the year, this is all blue with bluebells, and you see the seasons change when you have that much time to be somewhere like this.
And just opening up on our right,
yes,
you can see that the climb is absolutely worth it because we can see for miles across the plain there.
It's fabulous, isn't it? And really, this is what we were looking at from our garden, actually. So again, you're looking out to Shropshire and the Clee Hills, and then just around this corner you've got those beautiful trees that you can see from the front of our house.
So, oh, so beautiful, and it's a glorious day because there's a little bit of cloud, but you can also see some blue sky in the distance, and it's warm, and you can see patches of sunlight on the fields.
Yes.
Really beautiful. Let's keep going.
So, okay, are you all ready for the next ascent?
Yes.
No? This is probably the hardest bit, I mean, as the initial part of the walk, and this is End Hill. I love this because, I mean, all of the hills are very magical, but somehow this reminds me of West Scotland, and it's slightly wilder. We've got some nice rocks coming up as we get up here.
Yeah, so then the right to roam,
yes,
became part of it, but also caring for nature, caring for the planet.
Absolutely. I mean, I think at the very core of this whole project is the idea that there are possibilities and there's potential to do lots of great things and to come together, to appreciate nature, to appreciate humanity. So things like refugees, understanding human displacement, core issues that are so important these days, but that sometimes we're kind of just bombarded with all the negatives. And actually, within the project, to say, look, all these things that are happening, be it war, natural disasters, climate change, that actually there are also lots of people doing lots of great things to try and combat these. And I think that's really important to represent that and talk about it.
And it became a kind of multimedia project with more than just music, although one should never say just music, but with more than music.
Yeah, it did actually. This was the bit that I suppose challenged me the most in anything that I've ever put together or curated, that it sort of ended up being a half-hour documentary followed by the whole album that essentially was written like a sort of storyboard, like a soundtrack. And then behind that we had this wonderful visual artwork that was interspersed with images from the documentary.
You speak to people who are almost single-handedly, in some cases, rewilding parts of the country.
Absolutely, rewilding, working on their mental health, working on other people's mental health, things like people opening their homes to refugees from Ukraine. I mean, it'd be amazing, wouldn't it, if that was for refugees from many places, but people want to do things. I think, and something that Virginia McKenna said in our documentary is that actually, essentially, people are good people. We're humane. And
well, that's an interesting insight, because it would be easy if you were just a kind of casual social media user to think that actually there's a lot of anger and a lot of evil out there. But your experience is that the great mass of humanity, as it were, has positive energy and wants to do things that are good.
I think we all have great positive potential, and that if we were bombarded with that in the same way that we are of negativity, that we would come together, we would join forces, we would, you know, you look at all this mental health issues these days and you think, no wonder people get up and they're hit with every depressing thing that, yes, is a reality. We don't want to deny that there are lots of things to fix and lots of things to be done, but even tiny, tiny things like the verges aren't being cut down so much these days. They're full of wildflowers. That's a little tiny thing, isn't it? We can all get involved in that. We can get involved in our communities more. Maybe that would harness a whole new energy that I really believe in. And I think that, again, is the essence of
my part in why I want to build Freedom to Roam and why I want to have this platform.
Let's just take a little breath. Leaving central London at 10 to 8 this morning and then finding ourselves here. Wow, this is why we do the podcast. This makes you feel so good, yes. Looking out at this view. Just lifts your spirits and...
You know, it reminds me, when I get back here, because we all kind of work in London a lot as well, when we get back here, Jackie's the same, she's down in Exmoor. It reminds me of jumping into like a cold lake, because the air is so fresh. We're actually quite high here.
How high are we going?
Well, if we go to the top of Worcestershire Beacon, it's about 1,300 feet. So.
And you can really breathe there.
You can really breathe. It's so wonderful. You kind of feel it envelop you, don't you, this amazing fresh air.
Seeing the horizon is just very inspiring, isn't it? The view is indescribably beautiful.
The sense of space and distance.
Sky.
Because it is actually 180 degrees here, isn't it? It's all around us. It's you know, because we're back to the hill, but in front of us is just this panorama. And oh, actually, and in fact, it's more than 180 degrees because I can see to my left too. Can we see Wales?
We can, so we'll walk about a mile closer to Wales. but from here we can still, if you see the tabletop kind of mountain there,
yep.
That's the Black Mountains. And then actually I think we're really lucky, we've got a fabulous day actually, that you can sometimes see Penny Fan, which is part of the Brecons. It's an incredible kind of run of hills in a way, because it's just kind of sprung up. It's just here, you're not part of a set of mountains. It sort of feels strange, but as you say, you then got these amazing sort of valleys and floodplains, dare I say.
Well, let's go up, because it might be even greater. The view might be even better from the top.
Well, you never know.
So Don and Catherine are arriving by van. You know, fair dues. They've got to bring the harp and various other instruments with them. So, you know, we allowed them to do that, didn't we, while we were climbing the hill.
We thought we'd let them, just, you know, just for a mile or so, we thought maybe you don't have to bring in an enormous harp and a balafon.
Catherine, is this your dog?
It is, yeah, my little mutt.
What's his name?
He's called Tupsin, or Tups for short.
So what does that mean?
Tupsin is the Welsh word for being a bit dim.
Right.
Yeah.
And is he?
Yes, he is, yeah.
Okay.
He's very much like his name. He grew into it well.
Don, what are you unloading there from the van?
It's a balafon. It's an African instrument. I'm not sure exactly what country it's from in Africa, but...
So it's a kind of xylophone made of wood.
It is.
With gourds underneath, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that the sort of amplification?
It kind of, and it gives it a tone. It also gives it some vibration. And there's a little distorted sound on them when you play, but that's part of the beauty of them. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So which you'll hear, hopefully.
And look here, because... Catherine, this is beyond the call of duty. You've now got the harp on your back.
Well, this is a different harp.
It's not the 6 foot one we had earlier.
Yeah, this is
what kind of harp is this?
Well, it's just a little. Do you know what? I don't really know what they call it, but it's just a little kind of lap harp.
A lap harp?
Yeah, I suppose. A little lever harp. So it's got little levers on instead of any of the pedals and things. Very simple little.
And does it have a much more narrow kind of set of notes?
Yeah, it's a little thing, yeah.
Thank you.
That was wonderful. Thank you so much. Who wrote that piece? Jackie, you wrote that. So I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about the inspiration for it.
Well, I think it's really a kind of celebration of the rain and how much we take water for granted in our culture. And I mean, my tracks on the album have a kind of story, and this is the beginning of them in a way. There's kind of clouds gathering and then the rain eventually comes. So it's just celebrating the simplicity of the rain falling from the sky, really. It's a sort of joyful piece, really. That's the idea.
And when you started thinking about this project, what was the reason that you wanted to get involved? Why did you think it was so compelling?
I mean, I met Eliza, gosh, when was it? How long ago?
Probably about 15
years ago. We met on the Peter Gabriel tour, and we very quickly found we had a lot in common, mostly being the sort of love of wild places and Scotland and everything. And my particular thing I get worked up and angry about is the plight that refugees find themselves in and the detention centres. I wanted to write an angry piece. That's what my brutal piece is about. I think quite often in projects that are to do with the environment, and it can be lovely and peaceful, but I do feel angry about a lot of stuff in the world, and I very much wanted to throw my energies into trying to get this feeling into music, really. So I jumped at the chance, and we had the time, of course, in lockdown. It was an amazing gift.
And what was the process? Did you all go away separately and think of ideas and then bring them back to the group?
Yeah, we bounced ideas around, and I think initially we were going to kind of collaborate and do it together. But in fact, because of the lockdown, what happened was we all went off into our little caves and wrote our own music, and just by incredible luck and chance it all fitted together in this sort of story, this narrative, which I still can't really get over the fact that it fits and the story works. And there's that feeling, I think, of going into darkness but also this hope. Just, we want to remind people that we are all connected, we're connected to everything. And at the end of the album, I hope that it's like having someone hold your hand, you know, we're in this together. And yes, let's be aware of all the injustices and all the inequalities, but there's a lot to be thankful for and to try and connect with. And in these days where we're all little islands so much, we need to remind ourselves that we're massively connected.
And do you spend a lot of time out in the wilderness yourself? Do you like to get away from everything?
I absolutely do. I mean, I went off and lived on the Isle of Harris for a year, and that's when I started writing, actually. And I'm not sure.
Tell me about life on the Isle of Harris. Tell me about what your life was like there, how you spent your time and how you fitted with the community.
Okay, well, it was in the middle of nowhere, really, but I very soon met a sculptor there, and we came up with this idea of, because I was in a string quartet for years, and I'd played the Beethoven quartets, but I thought, let's play all the Beethoven quartets on the island. And we did a whole cycle on the island in that year.
So you brought other musicians to join you?
I brought other musicians, and they came for like 3 weeks, and we'd do a few of them, then they'd go away, and then come back. And it was
And where
were
you playing? In the village hall?
We played in the sculpture studio in a little village called Finsbay. In fact, one of Nikolai's images of a whale on the beach is in this project, in the artwork, so there's a nice connection there.
Is this the first time that you've actually played the music outside?
Yes, it is. It totally
what if
it, is.
What if it feels different when you're playing it in these with this extraordinary view, just on the other side of the grass there?
It's pretty moving,
isn't
it?
Looking out over that plain and playing the music here, does it take on a different resonance?
It does, because everything's stripped away. I mean, on the day of a gig, it'll all be the leads and the sound check and everyone saying, this is too loud, this is too, you know. To just be us and our instruments with everything stripped away is quite special, actually. And it just goes to show we can play it anywhere, you know, which is great.
Let's get walking.
Yeah, lovely.
I might just fall in alongside you, Donald, if that's all
yeah,
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Walk up this bit.
See if we can escape the dogs.
Do you ever get used to this view, this atmosphere?
Not really. No, I always thought I would. I spent a lot of time on a farm when I was a kid in Ireland. And you can get kind of a bit of stop noticing the beauty of somewhere. But there's so many different routes here. And yeah, I find it quite inspiring, especially the people who've been here before. Like Elgar and apparently C.S. Lewis and other people who've just all got been inspired.
So C.S. Lewis came here a lot, did
apparently.
He? Because we saw a lamppost that looked very Narnian earlier on.
Oh, right.
So I don't know whether that was part of his inspiration.
Who knows? And Tolkien as well.
Tolkien was here as well.
Yeah.
And Elgar obviously famously was inspired by these hills, wasn't he?
He was, and when you walk the top of the hills, which we're not quite on, I don't know, it evokes something. And he's everywhere around here. My sister has a house, and outside is a placard. And Elgar taught in her house at one point.
Elgar was here.
He's just everywhere.
It's like Queen Elizabeth slept in every pub in England, isn't it?
That's right.
Elgar was in all the buildings around
yes.
here. So tell me a bit about your involvement in this project. I mean, obviously, you've been living with it in the
yes.
sense that Eliza...
But it was hard to escape it.
So did she rope you in early on?
It was, yeah. Well, I think there was a lot of discussion before there was a project. You know, when you actually start thinking about all the things that mean something to you in life. And like most people, you watch the news, you see something terrible to do with maybe migration. You see something terrible to do with climate change. And eventually you start to join the dots and you find that there's a lot of things which are all together. It's almost as if there's one problem. And then on many chats up in Col and Scotland, chatting to Jackie and to Catherine, we started to feel it as a project. And then it was nice to be involved. I normally write songs where I'm singing everything. So to have the opportunity to write something instrumental was brilliant. You know,
did you find it liberating or did you find it confining?
Very liberating. I mostly write in terms of melody anyway. I've always got a tune in my head and I always fit a lyric to it or a vocal tune to it. And so to think, oh no, I'll just leave it as the tune. And it was like, oh, it's actually quite good, that is, you know.
And Coming Home was your contribution to to the album, which we heard earlier. Tell us about that and why you came up with that.
Well, I'm a big reader of science fiction. And I follow quite a lot of what Elon Musk says and and reading old Ben Bova books, like loads and loads of them. And I liked the idea that home might be somewhere you haven't been yet. And so I was writing it in a, you know, one day we'll be on Mars and someone will have to call that home. Like somebody who might be migrating now, running from a war, and they're going to have to feel that home is their destination rather than simply from somewhere they've been. So I kind of wanted to express that. And like a dawn, you know, when dawn comes up and you see the light, I kind of wanted the feeling of, ah, home, it's here. And it must have been like the pioneers going to America. You know, you go over the hill, there's one further valley, and somebody says, Grandpa says, this isn't the place. And kind of, so that in a sense, something kind of moving and somewhere you're content to be. So I wanted to kind of put that in, the whole, all the ingredients from science fiction to old movies, perhaps.
And how did you and Eliza come together?
That was, to be honest, it was a wedding. A friend of mine and a friend of hers, and that was it. That was it. She was a bridesmaid. I'd come from a 30-day tour.
You weren't an usher or anything, but...
No, I was not even going to go. And then I thought I'd better had, because it had been quite a heavy tour. And then the bridesmaid walked down and thought, well, she's quite nice. And then that was about 17 years ago.
And did music cement the bond?
We chatted all night about music and collie dogs.
Those are the two things, are they?
Collies.
So we've got Molly the collie and yeah. We've got the music. Yeah. And that's all you need for a successful relationship. Well,
that's what it was. Yeah. So far, so good.
And perhaps sharing this environment, sharing these views together doesn't do any harm.
Oh, it doesn't at all, no. It's a great place to let it all go, really. To let your thoughts go. Yeah, I love it. I've lived in some other places in the countryside and not got the feeling, but there's a great feeling here. It's not at the extremity of anything. It's like in the middle of England somewhere. It's like a secret. It's like, well, you wouldn't have thought you were... Birmingham was that up the road or something. It's only about an hour. It's less than an hour away. And you often hear people just coming here from Birmingham for a weekend or for the day.
To decompress.
Absolutely. It's wonderful for them.
There's a big hill there. We're going to climb that, do you think?
We're not, no. We're going to, apparently, we've got to go to the right. So I think we're going down that. We've got to go to the right of the hill.
Okay, let's do that. Beautiful purple foxgloves on the side of the path here, and loads of them going up the hill amongst the ferns. Really wonderful. And Katrina, I'm trying to get a sense from everybody of what this project means to them. So I wonder if you can tell us what it means to you and why you decided you wanted to get involved.
Well... Eliza is a great friend of mine, so I've known her since we studied together at the Academy 20 plus years ago now. She was telling me about her idea and, you know, this project, and I increasingly actually have found collaboration and working with other musicians something that I have enjoyed very much, and it's sort of increasingly becoming a quite important part of who I am, I think. And I just loved, you know, the ideas she was talking about, the ethos behind it resonated with me. It is sort of a big idea, but essentially it's about the world, isn't it? It's about nature, it's about wild spaces and giving something back to nature and wildlife.
And what does nature mean to you? Is it something that you care passionately about? Is it somewhere you spend a lot of your time?
Yeah, it really is. I live in a small village just outside Cardiff, but... there's some fabulous walks around there, the Garth Mountain. And obviously, you know, I have a dog and I love wildlife. My father actually as well lives nearby and owns nearly 50 acres of both pasture land and woodland, just as you sort of enter the South Wales valleys. And he's planted a massive orchard there. So he's planted over 600 trees now, mainly apple, but all pear and cherry and all sorts as well. So... you know, I kind of help him there on the land a little bit, and we're sort of rewilding it in a way. You know, the woodland bit of it just goes about its annual business, you know. And I grew up in the countryside. I grew up on the west coast of Wales by the sea, and so walks and the sea in my childhood was a big thing, obviously.
And has it inspired your music making before you came to this project?
Yeah, I think most definitely. I think, you know, your surroundings and your upbringing and where you're from, I think, are a big part of who you become as a musician, aren't they? And I did a project called Tides, which was a self-written project on the sea, really, on being inspired by water.
And I know that you did an album with Seku Keita called Soar, which is about ospreys and their migration journey.
Well, that was an amazing, just light bulb moment for us. I'm in a duo with Seku Keita on the kora, and we'd done one album called Clachai Dibon. And it was very much based on traditional music, I suppose. He took some of his traditional Senegalese music. I drew on Welsh traditional music, and we sort of paired them together. And then Saw came about because we'd actually started writing music together. And then Tamsin, who works on the management team with us, said that her father had started volunteering at the Osprey Centre, Dyfi Osprey Centre, which is just right on the coast, just south of Machynlleth. And, of course, the Osprey, did we know, migrates every year from here on the west coast of Wales, where of course I was born, and to the southern shores of Senegal, where Seku is from. And straight away it was this, like, oh my god, this is amazing, isn't it? This whole idea, this bird, it flies, it migrates, it has freedom, it's open borders, it travels as it wishes, and it makes this journey, this annual journey. And
between your two cultures.
Absolutely. And sometimes with a project like that, you find such inspiration in an idea. And Freedom to Roam is a similar kind of thing, you know. There is an idea behind it, isn't there? There's a picture, there's emotion. And I think when you have that, it can spur on creativity and that music writing process, really.
And you're going to play one of your pieces from the Freedom to Roam project for us now. Can you tell us about that?
Well, so when when we were starting up the project, so Liza, Dawn, Jackie and I were each invited, I suppose, to bring some music to the table. I had two pieces that were sort of on the back burner, I suppose. One of them called Freedom, and then the other one called Turning Tides, which is the one I'll be playing today. So, and that's what's nice. I suppose what happened was, you know, we bought these ideas, and then it was all through the whole COVID lockdowns and things. You know, we exchanged ideas and started to create. And that in itself was an inspirational process because we were all so shut off and locked down.
Well, and I wondered if that became your freedom to roam, as it were, your mental freedom to roam, even though you were stuck in one place.
You know, yeah, absolutely it was. And we all needed it, actually, to keep our creativity going.
And does Turning Tides have a message that it wants to convey?
It's the turning around. It's the idea that maybe the tides could turn and that things could get better. And messages like ours could start making a difference, you know, to the world and to the way people live their lives, I suppose.
Because it's so easy to get depressed, isn't it, if you to mount up the issues that we need to be concerned about and that we should be worried about. It's very easy to have a downer, and it's obvious that you all wanted to give us some hope as well as to warn us about the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And music has that maybe magic about it, doesn't it, that it can instill and it can bring out emotions, I think, and make people quite thoughtful to things. Even if someone just came across our music and happened to listen and it made them think about it for the 5-10 minutes they're listening to the piece or whatever, but even that in itself might change things for that listener, and then, you know, and that onward message will keep going around, and that's what's got to happen, is it, essentially, isn't it, that we all need to start thinking more and being more aware of the way we're living, I think.
Thank you. Catherine, we've gone to great lengths. You've gone to great lengths to get your harp halfway up the side of this hill.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that before? Is this the sort of thing you regularly do?
I regularly bring my harp to the top of the Malverns and play here to myself nearly every Sunday, actually.
And this is, are we just going to be clear, this is the concert harp, this is not the lap harp or anything like that. It took several of us to get it into position, find a flat bit, and you can hear the wind
playing it now. It's a new podcast I'm going to be starting of my own called Extreme Harping.
Does it feel different playing it out here?
Yeah, you know, it's always lovely to play outside because you sort of feel like you're playing with nature, don't you? And the wind especially, you know, when you hear that wind going through the harp and the strings kind of play themselves. So it, you know, you remember these performances and making music out here. I'll remember this more than, you know, some concert halls you play in, definitely. Yeah.
Well, now, presumably, the rest of us now need to roll our sleeves up and get ready to support the progress of the harp back down the hill.
That's right, back down, yeah. But it was worth it, wasn't it?
It's doing its
definitely own. Worth it.
It's having its own concert.
I know, it's taking
beautiful.
Over.
It's beautiful.
Drew, you're just buckling yourself into your backpack with the cigar box guitar and the drum you're carrying. You're the most heavy laden, apart from the harp, obviously. You're the most heavy laden of all the people.
I suppose I'm filling the very big shoes of Kuljit, and since we're not doing this with the full band, and normally I don't play with the band, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to be doing today, so I thought I better just have a few extra things, and then we could adapt to however we were going to.
Any musical eventuality.
Just see, yeah, there we go. We've got some instruments, see what happens.
So I've been asking everybody what it was that drew them to this project, what it means to them, and I wonder if you could give us your take on that.
Absolutely. Well, I've known Eliza for a long time. We met in London 18, 20 years ago, something like that. We've gotten up to all sorts of different projects, from the most avant-garde of classical music to a project with a flamenco guitarist and an Indian singer to a lot of film and TV work that I do normally, get her involved in that. Eliza's just a joy to work with. So if she calls and says, hey, I've got a project, yes. It's usually the answer. Yeah.
And do you have particularly strong feelings about the underlying themes of this project?
But it certainly resonates with me on a number of levels. I grew up in Colorado in the States, spent most of my childhood hurting myself in the Rocky Mountains, be it snowboarding or cycling or whatever. And so my sort of connection to music and gesture and movement in music is very much intrinsically connected to nature and movement in nature as a sort of young person developing on both things at the same time. You know, when you're snowboarding and you're sort of flying down the side of a mountain and you feel gravity more, and then you lift, and then you get more, and then less, and boom, up and down, and jum, da dum, da gum. It's got rhythm, weight, and release. And I think that all just ends up, music is such a physical thing, it ends up inevitably being linked. So,
did you get into music alongside your snowboarding?
Yeah, my career choices literally were, when I was finishing high school, I was debating on being a ski or snowboard instructor or going to study music. And I knew I could always go back and be a ski bum, but it's good to go to uni at that age. So I opted for the flatlands of Illinois and moved to Chicago. But I played cello since I was 4, and I played guitar since I found it in my dad's closet at age 6 or 7 or what have you. So absolutely, that was always me growing up. So it's very much connected to me, nature, and then the other set of themes that sort of intertwine with that, you know, movement of people, migration, and all of that. Obviously, I live over here. I was born with an American passport. My wife was born with a Spanish passport. My daughter was born with a British passport. We are a sort of migrant family, as it were. And so, you know, these topics of these themes of movement and bringing different cultures together and living in different places have very much been my life.
Now you might notice we're a bit breathless because once again we're climbing, and we're climbing quite a steep path here, surrounded by foxgloves, gorse, and then fern dipping away towards our left. And always with us, always, is that vista. Vista to the hills on the horizon across the plain in the sunshine today as we climb up to the top. We've got to make it to the summit, haven't we?
We've got to make it to the summit. We're so nearly there, and like, it's just such a beautiful warm wind. I know we've seen lots of views already, but we may as well see the full panoramic. I think it's 1,300 feet that we're going to, so...
Well, this is like seeing it from a drone up here, isn't it? You know, it's like flying over it somehow.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You just see the whole panorama spread out and looking down and seeing the patchwork of fields and trees and hills.
What I also love at this time of year are the grasses. They're really brown and sort of feel like you're almost in the Serengeti.
And they're in waves with the wind, aren't they?
Yeah.
Flowing in waves up the hill.
So many different types. It's beautiful. So here we are.
There's a trick point. We must be near the top.
This is the main peak.
And what's this hill called?
This is Worcestershire Beacon.
We're at the top of Worcestershire Beacon.
Top of Worcestershire
and there's
Beacon.
A memorial here, erected in 1897 in commemoration of the 60th year of Queen Victoria's reign. 1897.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. And they put that up here because, I assume, it's the greatest vantage point nearby. And you can see now 360 degrees all the way around.
You can, and what's really spectacular, if we turn around and look behind us, you can see down the length of the Malverns, down to British Camp, the old Iron Age fort down there. I think that's Herefordshire Beacon, not quite as tall as this one.
I'm so glad you brought us up here. And it's been such an amazing experience for me to be with all these extraordinary musicians in this beautiful landscape. How's it been for you?
I mean, it's been spectacular, actually. I'm so, so happy. It's just really brilliant. This is such a lovely way to discuss a project and spend time with everybody involved, because particularly something like this, it's such a team effort.
Would you like to play for us again here?
Could you cope with that?
I could certainly cope with it.
I think we'd love to. Let's do it, if we can find a good place for you.
Check that side, because the wind's coming in.
Because of the wind, yeah.
Tom, what have you got there?
Well, this is a battery-operated bit of sci-fi called a Tanpura. It's a hill drone.
It's a wonderful piece of kit, and it's got a big speaker on the back, hasn't it?
It has. It's got the speaker there, and it's got little pitch, whichever ones we want to do. We just decided to do that by itself.
It's a bit like those stylophones that I remember when I was a kid that you used to play with. Oh, yes.
And you can change the rhythms, the tempo of the way it oscillates, really. But it gives us a nice little drone in the hills.
What are you going to play?
We're going to play the opening track from the whole album, which is called Awakenings, and from that we're going to go into a lovely piece that's one of Jackie's compositions called Run Wild. It's just a little flavour of it for you.
That was amazing. That was just amazing. And to see it in this setting was so spectacular. Oh, I just want to say thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Drew. Thank you, Don. Thank you very much, Eliza, for being on Folk on Foot, for sharing this landscape, for sharing your music, for sharing your stories. It's been an extraordinary day. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here and for having us. Yeah, it's been
brilliant.
A real pleasure.
It's been brilliant. Thank you.
And you must come back to Malvern now.
We'll be back like a shot. Freedom to Roam in the Malvern Hills. And if you enjoyed that music, well, we filmed it and you can see the spectacular view behind those musicians if only you will sign up to become a patron of Folk on Foot. Then you'll get access to Folk on Foot on Film, our amazing and ever-growing archive of more than 150 songs and pieces of music recorded during our travels around the UK and Ireland. And you'll have the added satisfaction of knowing that the money you give goes back into making more episodes of Folk on Foot. We need your support. We rely entirely on the support of our listeners to keep going. So please go to patreon.com/folkonfoot and sign up to become a Folk on Foot hero. You won't regret it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.